Thank you, everybody. Welcome to Ways and Means, July 16th meeting at 5:30. You want to call roll?
Archer?
Here.
Jarantine? Mayo? Maloney? Petit? Rodriguez?
Present.
Okay, so resolution number 15, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 1 of 2019, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to local law number 5 of 1991, a local law adopting a hotel and motel room occupancy tax to clarify the tax law's application of short-term and vacation rentals to be held on Tuesday, August 13, 2019 at 6 p.m.
I'll move it.
Second?
It's your legislation.
I'll second it, but
okay.
Legislator Moore.
I am going to postpone one more month, and
okay.
We're going to try to get, down to see if we can get the county executive on board.
Okay.
I know his finance director threatened to pull us out of a contract last meeting if we did do this, but I'm not sure he was aware that he was saying that. But we'll see. Let's see if the county, what the county exec thinks.
Okay.
All right, so you've moved to postpone?
I moved to postpone.
I second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 295, approving the execution of a contract, and,
Should I get it?
Yes, would you not?
Because
I know
she skip it.
But if you could let her know. Resolution 301, creating one full-time position and amending the 2019 Ulster County Budget Office for the Aging. Move. Second.
Second.
And why do we hold this?
I don't remember.
Did we get the new language? I didn't see
what
it. Did we get new language?
List,
no, nothing was sent to Vicki.
We were told we were going to get a list, two lists. One was this, all positions in the county going back the last several years that were fully funded by a grant.
But not just that, though, if I may. I apologize, Madam Chair.
No. Did you?
But no.
I spoke to Bert.
We also had a conversation.
I spoke to Bert. He's working with personnel to see if there's a report that can be pulled.
Yeah.
He said they track it, and that all he's going to do is give it to us, basically. Oh, I'm so sick of it.
All right, so, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. No, because one of the things that we also have to be cognizant of, again, I think this is where maybe that's why Bert is going to have to kind of go and thread a little bit of needles as to what positions are funded by what funding source, so that way we actually know when, right? Because I think part of our discussion from last meeting was that we need to be notified heading into the subsequent budget year after a funding stream is no longer funding a certain position. So, for example, if the feds for some reason ended all FTA funding, right, for all UCAT and all the services, like, we wouldn't end it mid-year necessarily, but we might then at that point, though, want to make sure we know that walking into the following budget year, so that way we know that the county's 100% on the hook. Right,
I'm aware
of that, but
isn't this being tracked already? Shouldn't we? And I'm told that we had something in legislation in years past that was supposed to at least flag when funding went out.
It wasn't a flag, but it was just basically, there was a constant resolve that was basically a constant sunset, which is basically whenever the grant funding ends, the position ends.
So
it was generically applied to everything.
Quite a lot of positions through the years because of grants.
Sure.
And am I being told that our finance department in 2019 does not track full grant funded positions? I mean, that would be something that'd be low hanging fruit. I would think that's a no brainer.
I believe they're tracking them. I don't know if they have them on one list.
Well, what does it mean to track if you don't have something that can be printed out or gathered and printed out?
Just
a week or two ago, we were told that we'd have that list, and now we don't. Now we're not even sure there is a list that exists.
And what did Bert say to you when you asked him?
He's working with personnel to try to pull a report for those people to see if there's something easily identifiable.
But this is something that we should be watching anyway.
I understand, but I don't know that we should hold up this position.
I'm not saying I'm going
to
hold up the position,
but I do think we need to follow up.
Are we
going to
get...
But shouldn't it go in the resolution? I mean, even though it's covered and everything else,
why
shouldn't we put that language in?
I think
you got to track it. How you got to track it?
Which they said they're tracking it, but they haven't been able to give it to us.
Like Hector said before, when does it stop funding? April? Federal, different time frame. Ours is a calendar year. So, mm-hmm. I mean, how do you deal with it in between those time frames?
That's separate than tracking.
Well, tracking regarding keep funding it.
Well, that comes in if you're going to make the decision on how to discontinue the position or carry
you
on or find the funding for the position,
though,
but that doesn't have anything to do with having a list,
Rich. In November of the previous year, you're funding it the whole year. April, the state might come back and say you're not going to have funding. So you don't know that until April funding for April through December.
But we still have a list of the positions that are funded by that grant. That's all I'm saying. There's no list of fully. We were told there
was.
Well,
I'm talking about a particular position like this one. You're not going to know if it's going to be funded from April onward that calendar year. We do a budget in the calendar year of October, November. We vote on December for the next year.
You're talking about, and I agree, and we talked about that logistically it becomes difficult to. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about that? The fact that our fiscal year runs differently than Albany and the federal government, but that is separate from that comes into play when we try to come up with a policy on sunsetting. But it doesn't come into play on whether or not our finance department is tracking these positions. They should have a running list. We should have that running list from them.
Tracy.
You know, I think it's probably something we need finance to help us, but I think it's probably something we could do internally. If you start from zero right now, Natalie starts a list with this budget line and this name and this date and this resolution reference, and it's on some master list that speaks to grant funding and sunset. It's just we've been talking about it for so many years and the difficulty to identify, with no disrespect to the executive's office. I think on some level we can put in a policy requiring they do it, but on some level we need to own it, because ultimately we're going to have to be advised from within that this is, to Rich's point, that this is coming up, that next year mid-cycle we don't know if this is going to be fully funded, so you need to be aware that this is a sunsetted or potentially sunsetted position or department or et cetera. And again, the most glaring example is Urgent, which if you look at the resolution that created Urgent, it was a fully sunsetted program. And no sunset was ever discussed again until many years later after it was adopted. And just the point is we should have the awareness and the discussion that, okay, we're moving forward and with knowledge we're supporting keeping this position.
So
I don't know that I want to put in saying we automatically get rid of this position. It might be a very important position, but we need to have a way internally of flagging.
And I have just asked Natalie to do, she's already working with Bert, who's working with the personnel department to find out how they're tracking. Let us come back to the table and say, here's what we're going to do internally from a legislative perspective, and then we'll see what we're going to get from the executive and whether or not we need to put a policy in place on how to handle it or not. But we need to at least understand what's being tracked today.
All right, so let's move this along.
Joe.
Yeah, and at some point when we're told we have something and we'll have it, it'd be nice if we had it and we got it. Because we really are pointless here unless we can get the information we need from finance. It is alarming that we don't have this list at our fingertips, and they don't either. So I don't know what they were doing for this week, but doesn't seem like a hard list to compile. And what we had talked about in regards to what Tracy was saying was, I think at the end of Ways and Means last time, we had kind of come to the conclusion that this sunset thing that we were talking about did not need to be put necessarily into
in the
this.
Resolution.
We need an overall policy that's going to take some work that is going to automatically apply to every single 100% grant.
And in a budget process, some sort of a flag or notification that this was previously funded will not be going forward, and therefore
a flag or automatic. Because, Tracy, with regards to what you just said, that was my point last time. This is a wonderful position. We can't do without it. Yet we wouldn't have it unless we wouldn't be creating it unless we were getting this grant money. So therefore, if we're not getting the grant money, is it as wonderful as you're saying? And if it is, then perhaps we should have created it before. But my point is, it's always going to be. This is a wonderful position. Look at what they were doing over the last 2 years. We can't do away with it. We have to go find the money. And that's why if we have a policy that basically says, when this money dries up, this position is gone, then the conversation is not, we can't do without it. It's, do we absolutely need this position? And you're not going to be demonized for maybe saying no, even though the person was out there doing something nice for the community.
Tracy, did you have some?
Yeah, two quick things. So last week we had talked about putting in the standard for the standard sunset language.
Well, but it was determined that
we needed an overall.
We needed a policy that the language didn't mean anything because it's been in prior resolutions and has had no effect. So we're really looking at the policy, how we're going to track it going forward, what legislative finance team's role is in the process, and what the finance department's role is in the process.
But then the follow-on would be, if we're not going to put it in, I don't feel like it hurts to put it in. Certainly, sometimes it doesn't help, but I don't think it hurts. But if we're not going to put it in, and even if we are, I think we have to commit that this is day one.
Yeah, at least the first on the list.
This is the first on the list. Period.
No.
If we can capture some of the ones from before, great. But that we're starting today. However, we get to the policy that starting today.
We're going. Our team is going to be tracking.
It should be last on the list, but it's actually first. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be last, though.
All right. On the resolution.
The first will be the last. The last will be first.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm a no.
I'll be a no as well.
Okay. All right, resolution 295, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Securus Technologies, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff. Move. Do I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Okay, discussion? Trace?
So I saw we got more information, which was helpful, but some of what I was trying to get at and what was not provided to Ways and Means last time were the costs to the inmates. I just want to confirm, the 14 cents per minute, I want to confirm that's the cost of the inmate, not the county share.
14 cents a minute for the inmate.
It's for the inmate.
We're currently 22 cents a minute.
Okay, and then it's $5 per month for the tablet?
For the expanded use of the tablet, for the make it mine option. But the educational and all the other stuff is all free. Every inmate gets a tablet right now. It's $1.50 for the tablet, so they kind of share them. With the new company, every inmate gets a tablet and housing unit.
I have you.
And all the educational stuff is.
What does the educational stuff include?
So I have Dan here from Securus. I prefer let him have the conversation. Also, I apologize to everybody who weren't here last week. And I got this communication.
The free tablet is set up to help the inmates with, you know, taking up some time and also reduce recidivism.
Yeah.
Okay, recidivism is a major problem in the corrections industry. And what we've established is a tablet that would be one-to-one. Every inmate would have one, and it would have all the most basic options, which is law library, which is it's an educational program called KA Life, which helps prepare inmates for their GEDs. There's also an application in there called Lantern, which teams up with local colleges, whether it be a SUNY college or a trade school, where they can utilize the tablets to put their programming on the tablet itself. There's also messaging capabilities, which of course will come on every tablet, but that will have an expense to it as well.
Do you have to pay the $5 to get the messaging?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Messaging?
No, ma'am.
Message?
And is that video messaging or emails or both?
It has both, but I know one of the concerns of the sheriff's office was the ability to send video messages. And pictures. They are pre-scanned videos and pictures. So if it's a birthday, an inmate's birthday, for example, they could send a pre-established picture birthday card via the messaging application.
Not a picture of the family.
Exactly. Yes. No.
And that has a charge associated with sending the pictures.
Yes, ma'am.
And what's the charge? Is that broken down in here? I only see the percentages.
Yes, ma'am. Every single charge we would make is on that piece of paper.
On the newest
one? Did you get the one she sent today?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I got it today, so I didn't get this.
So the inmates or the family and friends purchase what's called stamps. Page two. Stamps. And the stamps, they're sold in books. So, for example, the smallest book you could purchase is a 5-stamp book. That will, one message, one text message can be sent via the so that would allow 5 texts, essentially.
So 50 cents a text.
Yes, ma'am.
Laura, did you have some?
Actually, I do. I mean, I think it's great that they have access to GED. I was thinking this tablet was supposed to be a tool to re-educate and help, you know, books, et cetera. I'm not quite sure how I feel about songs, games, and movies. But what about the security? If you're talking about messaging, I mean, can you get into, so basically anything they're doing on there that is open and available for
excellent
security
question.
Reasons?
Do you have, like,
yes,
algorithms?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's completely, everything is accessible by investigative staff. Everything is saved. We have the ability to do keyword searches for any specific terms or language that you're looking for. So everything is there. They're not losing any of the ability. So the inmates cannot just go back and forth sending messages without law enforcement knowing about it.
Okay.
Huh?
So 50 cents a text. What's the, so, and this, you're doing phone calls, everything, right? You guys handle it all.
Yes, sir.
What's the first minute?
14 cents.
Okay. And each additional minute after that?
14 cents.
There's no startup fee.
Yeah, no commissions. No. All right.
No commissions.
Well, there's a log. And,
no, there's a commission on
page 2 is what you're talking about.
Thanks.
Correct. And.
Go ahead, Trace.
Is the commission. It was funny on the first read that it said 80%.
Yes, ma'am.
That's to us.
Yes.
80% to us. And can I just, Laura got me thinking. She mentioned books. I didn't see anywhere here. Are there books on the tablet?
Yes, as a matter of fact, that attachment that was sent, like all what I put in there was all the that comes up to a slide that says "Make It Mine."
Yeah.
Okay, so everything up until that Make It Mine slide is free. That includes religious materials. Somebody needs to access a Bible, they have the ability to do so.
Page 26.
Mental health applications, podcasts, also drug addiction podcasts. Page 13, the books are free and the same as yes, and they're all books. They're not books that were just released, but they're books that have been, I believe they are, I forget the name, but it's in, like, a library.
Public domain.
Joe.
So, you may not know this end of it. You probably have an idea, but we are making about $300,000 in profit off of this as a county. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to other deals you have with other counties or large municipalities or cities our size?
What New York, I think what we have provided is a proposal that will maintain or possibly or likely expand the existing revenue base while reducing the cost to the family and friends and the inmates and providing more services. I would anticipate a bigger share because you also will be receiving commissions on the tablet usage, voicemail usage, and these are functions that you currently don't have today.
So if we essentially decided we could do without half of that, how much, I mean, who negotiated and how does it, how much would it be passed along to the inmate if we decided we wanted to make it cheaper for our inmates or come up with a program where we identified certain inmates that couldn't afford much of this at all?
Well, it is the paid for features, the movies, games,
so the,
and that actually
that,
funds
that where most of the revenue comes from.
Yes, that essentially funds the free applications, the law library, the educational programs, and all that other stuff.
So the law library program, which is on here, which will be on here, right now our current budget is $30,000 for the law library for LexisNexis. I'm kind of skeptical this year, but next year that comes out of our budget. And that's why I didn't want to jump on it this year. I want to see and make sure the program is full and it's available and it's all in state compliant, which Securus is saying it is. And then if that's the case, then in 2021 we can remove that.
Do we have a physical law library as well, or no?
We're using kiosks right now on a computer, and it's cumbersome, and there's a lot of problems with it. Because they break down, and then we're pulling them, and then the housing units are sharing.
Right.
And this, between the kiosks and the tablets, it'll be on everyone.
And any purchased content, if the inmate does return to the facility, that content will still be on there. So if the inmate has purchased, 10 songs, now that doesn't apply to movies. If it's movies, it's like what you or I would get, which is like a 2-day rental. So you'd have that amount of time. But for music and some downloaded books and such like that, downloaded games, they will have those games if they do end up returning.
Legislator Rodriguez had a question.
Thank you. So to follow up on what Legislator Maloney, started, is it possible at this point of, where we stand with this contract to be able to, in essence, forego any revenue from this particular contract and basically pass that along to inmates at that point if they need to make phone calls to their family or, to whoever?
So when we
be
did
more
this,
than minutes.
When we did this contract,
or even minutes,
we were with the current one since 2008.
Yeah.
So when this contract was up, we felt that we could receive more and the inmates could receive more because the current contract, the tablets aren't really good and it's creating a lot of problems. So we did this contract, we could have taken the 22 cents a minute and gotten more revenue for the county, and we chose to benefit both sides and make it fair for everybody, where we dropped to 14 cents a minute for the phone calls, because that's where right now most of the revenue comes in. They don't have any of the other stuff right now. They have nothing.
Okay, but so I'm not asking about the tablets. That's, look, if anybody's getting a tablet or whatever, that's kind of on them. Like right now, I'm just focusing up right now on the phone component, meaning even if any revenue that we're getting from the tablets, can that be used to go and offset so that way we're now reducing down or making it zero for phone calls for anybody who's there?
So what will happen is,
can we do
again,
that?
We're trying to keep the money right now. It'll be a little more than what we're making now, but we're trying to keep the money the same and benefit the inmate population. If we do away with this and we pay nothing, then the revenue that we receive comes out of our budget, and then it's got to go into the regular 1855 budget. And we're going to have to pay for a phone vendor, which we're going to have to go to contract with the county for the county to pay for it. So you're almost going to double.
Well, I don't think he's saying that.
That's
not
what I'm saying.
Wait,
instead of making $300,000, you make $200,000, and you can, the phone calls quite a bit cheaper.
Right now it's $230. We make about $230 every year. It's 55% commissions at 22 cents. So we dropped it down to 14 cents a minute at 80%, and we're going to be guaranteed $250, which is going to keep it right around the same number across the board, but the inmate is actually, they're going to pay less per phone call.
What do the other people pay, other counties pay? If we pay 14 cents,
if we take this 14 cents, we are one of the lowest counties in the state. Most of them are 22 cents.
Some are much higher.
Albany is 23.
Tracy, did you have a question?
I just want to tell the committee sort of where I'm at. I appreciate the lower per minute cost, but I still feel very uncomfortable with essentially, and I know this is sort of no disrespect, I know that this is curious business, but with profiting off of those that are in our company. I also have concerns about the equity of one of our prisoners being able to afford a movie, sitting next to another prisoner who's not able to afford a movie, and potentially both of them are waiting trial, and thus are presumed innocent at this moment. So it's not even like we're talking about punishment per se. I hope that the law library, the Supreme Law Library, works out, and that it's as good as is represented, because I see that as a real benefit. But it's a bigger issue that extends to the privatization of the commissary, the privatization of the medicine. And I know in some instances it saves us money, and in some instances we're talking about it making us money. I mean, as I understand, there's a there's a charge, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, so there's a charge to load money onto the machine for which is a charge often to the families of those that are incarcerated. And we're expecting to see more money because I look at this as like when you get a free phone, you know, you're signing up with a phone company and they're giving you a free phone. Why are they giving you a free phone? They're giving you a free phone because the company's gonna make money off of the calls you make. And this is similar, and that's the business model, and I understand that, but just as an elected official charged with looking out for our whole population, including our population in jail, it makes me very uncomfortable, the privatization and commoditization of this. So.
Legislator Nolan, then Geraghty.
So, as I hear this, we have the opportunity to move to this much better contract that keeps things kind of the same financially, but provides a lot better benefit. And I hear and want to confirm that there's a willingness to look at it in the future to see if we can do even better. What I have broached, and it would require some kind of planning ahead of time, so not for the next year, and get it. We need to know that this is working before we change it. But people who are in jail but have not been convicted, I think, might be treated differently than those who have been convicted. And so it might be possible to, if in the future, in my view, to use some of the money that people who are convicted and are there pay into this system to provide services for people who are there and have not yet had adjudication. And I'm hoping that bail reform and other things make that number very small anyway. So my suggestion would be to move forward with this and get a sense of what it does and doesn't do, and then try to improve on it for the things that Chair Bartels has identified and others have identified.
Two questions. Number one, how long is this contract?
Three with two extensions.
So it's a three-year definite contract. Yep. Okay. Secondly, you're saying we've taken in $220,000 this year, or proposing revenue. I mean, have taken into consideration the loss of inmates that we have for this coming year. That we're talking about 55 inmates, so it's probably a population decrease of about 15%. Have you taken into account that 15% reduction?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
So, but if you're doing $220,000 a year, I mean, with 56 less inmates, it has to be a reduced number to 220, I would imagine.
The commission went from 55 to 80. And then, right now, we don't have to buy new phones, and you're adding
they're making more,
and all the other options there, which is another source of revenue.
But you have a lesser amount of inmate population.
Correct.
I understand you're going to make more money, but you're having a less number of people in the total population in jail.
Which means that the inmates are going to end up paying more. The inmates, I mean, if we're making more money, it means that the inmates are paying
more. Or secure, or their companies.
Taking less,
profiting less. Which is it?
I mean, the contract that you have today is well below market. I mean, they're at 65 today at a higher call rate with less services and capabilities.
I mean, I think it's obviously both, because right now we are not renting movies for $7.99 to $10.99 movies. So every movie that gets rented is a new charge. Yes, it's a new service, it's a new benefit if you want to look at it that way to the person who's receiving the movie, but they're paying for the movie and their family's paying to load the money. I mean, two questions I have now that hadn't occurred to me before is one. Will we see at the end of the year a breakdown of how many movies were rented, how all of that in an aggregated? Okay, so we'll know how we arrived at the actual. Okay.
Every month you'll receive that.
Yeah, and then
clearly now we don't have a phone call, so we receive that. I can check every month to see how many we know.
But I'm not so. What I'd be interested in seeing is not just how much money we made, but how much money. Were the inmates charged? How many movies were rented? How many games were rented?
It actually shows what they paid, and then we figure out.
Legislator Rodriguez.
So to focus back up on the phone calls, and I apologize because that's I'm for me personally, the movie part is what it is, but the phone call part, do we actually have the ability to negotiate? Because we're locking ourselves in at this point now for a 3-year, you know, contract. You know, I guess we will not be able to negotiate during the course of those 3 years, but what about the extensions?
Well, first, absolutely, we have no problem with renegotiating throughout the term of the contract. We'll write it in there. I'm more than happy to revisit what works out best for you. Absolutely. You don't have to wait 3 years.
Because I'm just being candid. Like, for me, there may be other concerns with regards to how many inmates are being charged or whatever, but for me, being able to communicate back home or with counsel or with whoever, that's where my focus is going to be, because ultimately I think that's just where, you know, that's where it's appropriate in my mind. But that's,
we're always willing to, I mean, there's lots of, especially nowadays, and especially with the newness of tablets, there's always changes in what's happening in the political climates and, you know, in the state, from a state standpoint, national okay. standpoint. A couple years back, if you're not familiar, there was a big FCC case mm-hmm. That happened. We are absolutely positively willing to go back and to identify, you know, exactly what you need from a budget standpoint and what sort of call rate is going to get you what you need to okay. do. And that we'd be more than, and that includes lowering the call rate if we need to.
Okay.
Chair Bartels, I'm sorry, you had one more question?
Yeah, I was just in the contract, and this is probably a question for Deputy Executive Ryder. I didn't see that there's not the typical escape clause. This is a locked contract for 3 years. I appreciate the willing to write in.
We don't have an escape clause?
There's not a termination.
There's an escalation clause.
No, I did not see that. You can look at it and let me know. I see only a termination for cause.
I can't imagine there's not one.
That's standard in each of our contracts.
This is the Securus contract. This is not. Oh no, it is.
That can't. I was going to say, like, we have actually had. I apologize, but we have had the 30 or 60 or 90 day rule in each of our contracts standard pretty much since since 2006, because of. Unfortunately, you know, the jail and all those other things, and so it became a standardized. We actually created a standardized contract specifically for this reason. So if we don't have it in there, that's a bigger concern than anything else we've got.
May I?
Yeah, of course. No.
If I just may respectfully request that you just consider that, unlike a lot of other contracts where a county is actually paying out money. This one is a revenue generating, and it's a extremely major expense in order to get everything in there. If I'm not performing my job, certainly, and you need to get me out of there for cause, I certainly understand.
I understand that, and I apologize, but understand. And I, you know, forgive me for being so stodgy and set in my ways, but you have to appreciate. Every contract. I mean, literally every contract. This would be unique
Mark
for the first time.
What? The full contract isn't in our packet.
Mark is pulling up. So okay. If it's not in there, that would be probably the first contract that this legislature has approved since 2006. So meaning, you know, normally you reserve those kinds of things for something extraordinary, and no offense, this contract is not extraordinary or rise to the level where we don't have an escape clause.
Certainly.
All right, I apologize, but that's how it is.
And we will accept it.
Okay.
I mean, it's not.
No. And just so you know, we have it with literally everybody, and it does vary. Sometimes you'll see it's 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. Normally, no more than 90 days. But
let's I'll make an amendment that we put an escape clause in there.
It may already be in there. That's why.
So we can move forward.
Yeah.
Or we can just table it and then move along and then come back to it if Mark actually sees it.
Yeah. Let's. Why don't we table it and move to the next resolution?
And then that way Mark comes back. Sorry.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you.
Resolution 302, approving the work order with the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York for design and construction phase services for phase two of campus. Roof project for Hardenburg Hall related to the campus roofs project capital number 49 campus roofs and amending the 2019 Ulster County Capital Fund SUNY Ulster.
Second. I waited until you finished.
I know.
I waited until you finished this
time,
okay?
I figured it was going to
premature moving is not a. You have to wait till she finishes.
It's a no.
You have to wait. You have to wait till she finishes. All in
favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 303, authorizing roof reconstruction of the Hardenburg Hall at the Ulster County Community College campus at SUNY Ulster, Stone Ridge, in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $1,600,000, and authorizing the issuance of $1,600,000 bonds of said county to pay for the cost thereof.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 305, authorizing the chair of Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease with Ulster Savings Bank for space to be used by the Board of Elections, Department of Public Works. Move.
I'll move it.
Second. Joe.
This was the other list we were supposed to get, the list of all rented properties in the county, which we have to have, right?
Yes, we have.
Did we get that?
We didn't get it yet, but it exists.
Mark, we were. I think you told us we were going to get the list of rented properties in the county.
You have to bring him up to where we are. Cause he
I'm sorry, we're at 305.
We're on 305.
Yeah, we're looking from last week's notes.
And this was where I think I went back and looked because we were a little concerned in our caucus about cost. And when I went back and looked, I think it was somewhat confusing how it was laid out. It was laid out annually,
annually
and it went
versus
by month. I think
month.
It was a buck and change. And
yeah.
I think
so
we all need to be, I think, yeah.
$14 a square foot annually.
Yes.
And then I think the other piece was $10 a month, a square foot per month.
What's included would come into play there.
Utilities,
but it, didn't,
it
what,
does.
But
it
once
does
we looked
yeah.
at that, it didn't look like a bad contract whatsoever.
No. Chair Bartels?
Yeah, I mean, I feel more comfortable with it after analyzing the information that was online. Some, as Joe said, some was listed as a square foot per month, and some was listed as square foot per year, but without saying month or year, just said square foot, square foot. So that's what made it confusing. That said, and I have a level of comfort after speaking to the deputy executive and knowing that this is a one-year lease, I do think that it's a selling point that we're in the space, but who knows if the building's going to get sold or not, and I think it needs to be a wake-up call to us to find an alternate appropriate space for this building and, I mean, for this for Board of Elections. And ideally, I would think that would be contained within a ready county-owned space. So following on Legislator Maloney's request, I'm going to also ask for, you know, not just a list of all our rental properties, but a list of all our space. We've done several space analysis over the course of all these years, so we can look back at it. This is an operations issue, and I know the executive and his staff are on it, but I'd hate to find us behind the power curve a year from now with no place to go. So I'm happy to approve it now, but I think we need to start working now to figure
it
out.
It certainly bleeds into fund appropriation. It's certainly a part of fund appropriation. I understand its operations, with leases and whatnot, but you know, I mean.
So on yes.
I thought we were. All, we also said unless you said it in there. I'm getting tired. That if there was like the sale of the building, and then in the sale of the building, it said, "Oh, and we'll rent you out space," and it was less than what we were going to pay. So that was the real issue.
Yeah. It's, okay. So what it said in the advertisement for the sale of the building, it said as a perk to advertising the sale, it guaranteed that the current owner was going to rent the full first floor, which is where we are, at a rate that's cheaper than what we're paying.
Right, so if that's somebody's doing a phone call.
So the point, well, there's no phone call to make. The point is they are using us as a selling point. The current owner will make money off of us if it sells, albeit a small percentage of the monthly rate.
Less than what they're getting today and better than market. It's slightly better than market.
Say that again?
They're making the full amount. So their proportion in this transaction would be much less.
They are proposing a guarantee. They're subleasing to us. They're proposing a guaranteed sublease. They're proposing at the term of the sale that they are guaranteeing the full rent. I think last week that alarmed me because I hadn't seen it before. This week, I think our takeaway is we have a one-year lease, and we better get moving to find another space.
Okay. And it's
on
not
the motion
to advertise that something's
right.
fully rented. You know,
on the motion, all in favor, thank you.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, resolution 307 authorizing the issuance of an additional 42,000 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York, to pay part of the cost of the construction of a service shelter and other improvements at the Veterans Cemetery in and for said county.
Moved.
Move. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
If we could go back to
295.
295, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yep.
All right, so just that's the way everybody's aware. I had Vicky pull up the contract. I think it's Article 28, termination. Mm-hmm. The termination is that the county, upon mailing, can terminate the contract. So that's what's written in there. So it is in there. Well, no, but it's standard in so far as that there's different levels of when that termination can happen, but just the way everybody's aware, it is in there and that it is actually upon us. It's actually upon when we actually mail it. So.
All right, so can we call the question?
On the resolution?
Aye.
All in favor? Opposed?
Yeah.
One. Okay, any new or old business?
Guys.
I got numerous phone calls regarding dismissal of one of our employees, Lisa Cotton. I know she was with the ACE area. I'm not really sure why she was let go. In my opinion, she's probably one of the most qualified accountants that Ulster County has. I know there's some politics involved. Hopefully that wasn't the reason why she was let go, but yeah, there again, that's a very valuable position. Maybe they're getting rid of the whole department from what I hear, but there again, you may shed some light onto the subject.
Sure. So, this is a personnel matter, and we're in an open meeting. If you wanted to go into executive session, I could share some details, but I will say that there was no politics involved. Beyond that, I don't know that I want to state anything else at the current time. If you'd like to go into executive session, I can have a short, brief conversation.
Make a motion to go into executive session.
Second.
But before we do that, could we thank these gentlemen? I just feel like we have concerns, but you brought something to the table that I think, I'll just speak for myself, that I think is a big step forward for us, and I hope that it really works well, and I appreciate the time you put in to come in and explain it to us.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Okay, we'll go into executive session.
Just ways and means,
yeah.
Or what?
Yeah, legislator. Any legislator. We're all equal.
We have to vote on that.
Yeah, I've always disagreed with that. I've always actually fought that.
Any legislator can stay in.
Okay. Yeah. I was just asking. I think it has to be clarified. Because
yes.
I think
well,
when
I'm clarifying
executive session,
yeah.
Usually
we do it for legislator and council.
We're going into executive session, Pat.
For what purposes?
Personnel.
To discuss personnel.
Do you have to put that on the record that you came out of executive session?
No decisions made. No, we're out of executive session. Yes, no decisions made. Okay, anything else? I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So seconded. All in favor?
I know.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, 54.
So we need to follow up on a bunch of stuff next.